Yo! The Last Dance. Yo!
The GOAT, y'all.
Dude.
The GOAT is on the soundtrack with the GOAT.
Don't play. Peace, y'all. This is the Views from the 7 crew, and we here every week. We're going to be reviewing The Last Dance each and every single episode. This is your guy, Spence. I'm joined with my homeboy, Skinny.
Yeah, yeah.
Ivan.
A.K.A. Teddy Riley's hype man.
What's happening?
Yo! What's up? Talk to me. We are here. Before the doc even started, right? Mm-hmm. Y'all didn't find it odd. Very, very odd. That for someone who loved baseball so much, he called it a vacation.
Yeah.
Hiatus. That ain't like.
I ain't think it was odd.
I think it's known
that it was more of his father's sport. Like, yeah, he did it more for his
Not
father.
Not only that, I don't think baseball is just fit that physically, you know, as bad as basketball, you know. So, you know, for somebody used to running up and down a goddamn basketball court, baseball may feel like a vacation to you.
Mm, that's a good perspective. Mm. I know he always had a passion for baseball, though. He just happened to be a better basketball player, so.
Mm. Way better.
Way better. I didn't realize that he wasn't making no fucking money at the time. I thought Jordan was making way more money in basketball.
Yeah, them niggas was kidding.
Bro, we talking about the 80s. Yeah. 80s and he was Damn. A rookie? What y'all want the nigga to come in with? We ain't talking about the 2000s when niggas getting crazy contracts coming in.
You know, first of all, before we get into the doc, can I get y'all likes and dislikes about the doc in total?
I don't think I dislike anything. It's just, you know, basically, what did I know and what I didn't know?
Yeah.
You know, I didn't know they hated the GM that much, you know what I'm saying? And
yeah,
I didn't know Pippen was making that little money.
Okay.
Those are the things that I didn't know. I don't think there's anything that I dislike or, you know, like about it. I just hope, you know, that they give us more. And they will. I mean, it's
yeah, they
10 episodes. They could have put more in there.
They could have went a lot deeper.
As of right now, those are the only things that I didn't know. You know, and even with the GM being disliked, you know, that pretty much came through, you know, a lot of, you know, sportscasters over the years, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, it's just something that's been confirmed with the documentary.
It ain't too much I didn't like. I know it hurt me to know that the Bulls organization back office just always been just a piece of shit as far as with their players. Mm-hmm. Hurt me. You know, that's my team.
Yeah.
That was the only thing that I was like, fuck, these niggas ain't never gave a fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
I don't think there's anything I disliked. I think it's too early to tell having dislikes. I thought that the second episode was going to, the way it started, I thought the second episode was going to focus more on Scottie Pippen. And then it kind of like halfway through, it kind of went back to Jordan. So that part I would kind of.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if people that's not the younger generation, I don't know if they can take 10 episodes of Jordan.
Yeah.
But. What I didn't like, well, I'm not gonna say didn't like.
Four decades.
It was like what I want to say bothering me, right? It's when you were bringing me in with the 98 team,
okay,
and then you kept going back.
Yeah,
don't think they can give you.
Yeah,
10
they
episodes.
Going
I don't think
forward
they can give
backwards, forward backwards.
Kept going forward back. Yeah, yeah, that right there was bugging me. Yeah. Like, fam.
I mean, stay where you at. Go year by year.
They can't give you 10 episodes of the 98 season. I don't think you can.
No,
I think you needed that to correlate with what the way they was trying to go with the story. You need that to correlate with how they doing it.
They went. It seemed like they just
they
went did
after
too
Italy.
Often.
What they went to like? They went out of town. I mean, out of
Paris,
the country.
Yeah,
they went to Paris and they went back to when he was like a kid and shit. And I was like, what the fuck?
Because that was them correlating it too of how he was as a kid to how he was when he went here. It was them comparing kind of.
There is one thing that I didn't see that I was hoping to see, and I still hope to see from some fucking type of documentary. I don't think enough is put on Portland passing Jordan up. You know what I'm saying? I know this is a documentary about the Bulls, but if you're talking about the Portland Trailblazers, who they played in the 92 finals, if they draft Jordan alongside Clyde Drexler, you can, you know, arguably say that Portland wins six in a row. Yeah, because, you know, the rest of their talent wasn't talent that was taken in the first round or anything like that. You're talking about, you know, Cliff Robinson and Jerome Kersey taken in the second round. You know what I'm saying? You're talking about, you know, Terry Porter taken late in the first round. Buck Williams late in the first round. You see what I'm saying? You know, obviously Sam Bowie never really played for Portland because he was hurt, you know. So you're talking about, you know, a Kevin Duckworth that you acquired and he was, you know, an all-star for a couple years for your team. Like, you know, this could have literally been the Portland Trailblazers.
Yes, I disagree.
Talk to me.
Wholeheartedly. Because first – Kyle Drexler was a year before Jordan, so there literally would be no reason for me to draft two players that are a year apart that are play the exact same position. Yeah. Second of all, Sam Bowie's a center. You had no clue that Sam Bowie was going to be as injured as he was.
Yeah.
It's the Greg Oden, Kevin Durant.
There's no way you can predict that. Third of all, Sam Bowie was a center. Like, if I'm building a team, you need a inside presence.
Yeah.
So, especially with Hakeem Olajuwon going first, like, why would I draft two guards and Hakeem Olajuwon just went in the same fucking conference? Like,
facts.
You need a center. So I think Portland did exactly what Portland should have done. You take the best player that you need available. Yeah.
And then, you know, we'll get into it, you know, later in this episode. But I think the way of the league, it almost seemed like you couldn't carry a team without having a solid – like, you couldn't win without having a solid center.
Which a player made mention of.
That was the way of the league, so I can kind of see why.
Yeah, but Jordan did it, and that's why I say if they take him and they play him on the other wing of Clyde Drexler, you can arguably say that. It's not about what you think you needed at the time. You know, it's about whether or not they took him. Do you think Portland could have won six in a row?
No.
You trying to argue the what ifs though?
No, I'm just saying, throwing out a hypothetical, saying, do you think that Portland team could have won six in a row if you add Jordan to that team? You're talking about a team that made the playoffs like 12 years in a row.
But when you get into the what ifs, could Clyde Drexler and Michael Jordan coexist when one is already ball dominant, but the other is super ball dominant?
Yeah.
And who's the Scottie Pippen in this situation? Because I don't think either one of them is.
I don't think you need a Scottie Pippen in that. So you're talking about two guards that score 25-plus easily.
Yeah, Jordan, that's not.
That didn't work for Oklahoma City with Kevin Durant.
Jordan clearly. That's two different eras, bro.
It's the same concept. You can't compare
the two eras.
We're both ball-dominant scorers. Like, who somebody has to take a back seat.
And Jordan
but
clearly
neither
said,
one is a point guard, though. That's the difference.
Jordan said in this, you can't mention my name without mentioning Pippen.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So he even saying I needed Pippen to get these.
Yeah, because he didn't have Pippen before. This is what he's speaking to. He's not saying that I needed specifically Scottie Pippen. I needed a player like Pippen. I needed another
and
player
that
can score.
He's not like Pippen.
I need another wing.
When he talks about Pippen, I don't think he mentions Pippen as a scorer. I need somebody who can handle the offense. I need somebody who can when I'm on the bench, he can score. But when I'm on the court, this is who's checking Magic Johnson. This is who's going to check the Clyde Drake. This is your Klay Thompson.
Yeah, I get you on that, but at the same time, when you're talking about that Portland team, you know, Cliff Robinson could have checked Magic. You know, Jerome Kersey could have checked Matt. This is what that's all I'm saying. I'm not saying that they made a huge mistake. I'm saying what if? Do you think? That's it.
Yeah. I don't.
So, you know, I guess off the rip, you know, as documentaries go, they clearly made who the villain was going to be in this documentary.
Facts.
Like, they made that clear.
From the jump.
Like, this is our villain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? And as a fan of basketball and one, I started really paying attention to Michael Jordan and the Bulls during their second repeat, right?
Okay.
So I wasn't clearly aware of all the black history.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So when I'm watching a documentary and they're mentioning a rebuild.
Yeah.
Clearly when they're winning. And I get Michael's position, like, we're the champions until they knock us off.
Yeah.
But I didn't know, shit, Dennis Rodman was like 37?
Something like that, y'all.
They all were past 30.
Uh-huh.
It was already clearly seen that Tony Kukoc, for how great he was, he couldn't be a number one.
Yeah.
He wasn't a number one. So I can understand why rebuilding was necessary. Now, this whole documentary, one and two, was clearly, you know, player versus suits. Yeah. When I say suits, I mean management.
Yeah.
Both episodes, right?
Yeah.
So clearly a rebuild was going to be needed. I do not think, regardless if Michael Jordan returned or not, they were not going to win in 99.
They would have got to the finals, but not. They wouldn't have won. They wouldn't have beat San Antonio.
At all.
Yeah, but they would have got past that weak Knicks team. Yeah.
Nah.
Chris Ward.
You got two.
Allen Houston, Sprewell, Marcus Camby, Anthony Mason. They can't get past them?
They had both of them in.
Could they not get past them?
They had both of them in 98, didn't they?
Who?
David Robinson and Tim Duncan.
No.
No, that was 99. Bulls won in 98.
No,
the next year, they had David Robinson and Tim Duncan. Yes, that's why I said they wouldn't have got past San Antonio.
They would have gotten
to San Antonio to play him.
How, though?
They would have got abused inside. You got not one center, but two centers.
Yeah.
Their weakness was already center.
Yeah.
Who's checking Michael Jordan?
Nobody's checking Michael Jordan, but
I don't
know
if you need to.
I don't think Rodman and Luke Longley would have done anything versus a still in prime David Robinson and a rookie of the year, Tim Duncan. I don't think they could have done anything with that.
Vinny Del Negro was the starter for the Spurs.
The thing that would have helped the Bulls is the fact that was a shortened season, so they wouldn't have been as fatigued, but that's about it.
I don't know if they had any business winning 98. It's the honest truth.
You say you don't know if they had any business winning it.
Yeah, I don't know if they.
No, I for sure at the time knew they was going to win that. Yeah. You know, I mean, that's only because, you know, if you were a fan of basketball at the time, you didn't see nobody beating the Bulls as you know, configured, you know?
Because Michael Jordan was there.
Yeah, for sure.
He would have been there in 99.
But I do feel like if they would have brought that same team back, if they had brought that same team back for the 99 season, that would have been the one on MJ's win-lose record.
I agree.
I disagree. The only problem in the lineup is David Robinson.
Tim Duncan was a problem.
What the fuck?
Tim Duncan was a problem coming into the league.
I think you're thinking of the late 2000s Tim Duncan.
No. I'm thinking of a young Tim Duncan versus a veteran Dennis Rodman.
A young Tim Duncan went out there and won the motherfucking championship. In fact, hold on. No.
After.
You're right. They did have Tim Duncan and David Robinson in 98.
I know they did.
No, he got
and 97 too.
He was there in 98.
Was that the season? Was that the season he got hurt?
For his first year was 98.
That's when I don't remember.
Tim Duncan was there.
No, They didn't make it there. Obviously, you know. And no matter what, we can't say Tim Duncan and David Robinson because they didn't get past the Jazz at the time. I'm just saying 99. That 99 Spurs team, you know, that would have gave the Bulls some fits down below. I don't care what you say.
They wouldn't.
Yeah.
I'm saying David Robinson. I mean, Dennis Rodman is not no pushover on defense.
Not at all.
A 38-year-old Dennis Rodman
was giving niggas fits.
But Dennis Rodman at 6'8" ain't giving Tim Duncan.
Why he ain't
7 foot?
Why he ain't?
You know, you're not giving. Remember, that was when you first started seeing 7 foot power forwards. You didn't see 7 foot power forwards. They were 6'9", 6'10".
You telling me I can go toe for toe with Karl Malone, but can't handle Tim Duncan?
Karl Malone is 6'9".
And strong as a fucking ox.
Yes, absolutely.
Probably the strongest single player in the NBA.
This is the reason why height and wingspan matter in the NBA. You can't block a shot that you can't get to.
I don't have to. I can tie you out. I can make it hard. I don't have to stop you. I can make it hard for you.
I'm in no way taking any, you know, respect away from, you know, Dennis Rodman. We've seen what he did to the likes of Alonzo Mourning and all that during his career.
Yeah.
But Tim Duncan is by far the greatest power forward to ever play this game.
By far is.
By far is not. No, he is.
He is. I don't know about he by is. Far. By far is a stretch, but keep going.
But I'm saying you're talking about the person who eventually become the greatest power forward.
He wasn't
who
the, won. He wasn't the greatest power forward at the champion. Time.
No. But he won a championship in his second year.
He did
absolutely
because he had one of the greatest centers of all time. Winning another
four. Like you know, this is not no pushover, dude. You talk even when he come into the league. Tim Duncan was not a pushover.
I'm not saying he was. Neither was Dennis Rodman, though.
No, I didn't say that.
So y'all saying, oh, Tim Duncan was there. Dennis Rodman was a fucking pushover.
I don't know if a 38-year-old Dennis Rodman is going to be able to check Tim Duncan.
I'm saying that.
And even if, okay, so even if you cancel out Dennis Rodman and Tim Duncan.
Yeah.
Go down the rest of the roster.
Bill Cartwright is getting his ass ate the fuck up.
It ain't Bill Cartwright. It's Luke Longley there. He's getting ate the fuck up.
He's getting ate the fuck up.
Luke Longley, Bill Winnington, whoever come off that bench at center is getting ate the fuck up.
I'm conceding that point. I'm conceding it 100%. 1,000%.
My argument is that Duncan is just too big.
Keep going down the list, though. Y'all got power forward in center.
Yeah.
Keep going down the list. Who's next? What's the next position? Small forward? Who's there? What's the matchup? Sean Elliott.
At the time, I want to say Sean Elliott.
And Scottie Pippen.
No. Elliott gonna get eight. They obviously gonna get eight at two guard, and then you know,
Avery Johnson
ain't doing nothing against Harper. Ron Harper.
So out of the five positions, we win three of the matchups.
Yeah.
What are we talking about here?
But you win three of the matchups, but that paint ain't open no more.
The paint wasn't.
You have to score from the perimeter.
Is that what Michael Jordan was doing in 98?
That's what Jordan. Yes.
In 97. In 96.
Is that what Pippen was doing?
Yes.
Pippen wasn't going to the hole. Pippen wasn't getting to the rack and scoring. That ain't where Pippen points came from.
To the rack.
Pippen wasn't.
Talking about the same nigga that dunked Pippen on Mutombo too.
Pippen was not pulling fadeaway, you know, mid-range shots. That's not. Pippen was getting his points
Pippen
by
was
going
still
to
a
the
scorer
rack.
When Jordan left, he was still scoring buckets.
You talking 94 though. We're not talking 99. He went to 99 in 99. Pippen went to Houston and they did nothing against that San Antonio team.
In 2000,
nothing.
In 2000s, he pushed the Lakers' asses to seven games though.
Yeah, what? Come on, bro. You talking about with a Blazers team that did not feature Scottie Pippen. You're talking about Rasheed Wallace's Blazers team.
And who else?
Rasheed Wallace, Horace Grant, Brian Grant, Damon Stoudemire.
Are these the names you are bringing up right now?
Steve Smith, Bonzi Wells.
Brian
Pippen
Grant.
Was not the best player on that team.
I didn't say he was.
At all.
I didn't say
so
he
this
was.
Is what are you talking about then?
He was still effective. He was still effective.
You're talking about the effective Pippen. Who had the
second
ball,
name
who,
out of your mouth just
seven,
now was Brian Grant. I don't got
to
say.
No, I just ran down from top to bottom.
Okay.
The you know, the positions. Arvydas Sabonis, all that was a great Blazers team. It's the team that I call the greatest team to not play in the finals, okay? But when you're talking about, you know, Pippen at that time, you remember you're talking about the Pippen who, you know, had the motherfucking Lakers down 15 with 3 minutes left to go when they came back and won that game in game seven.
Absolutely.
So, all right then, what are you talking about?
Shaq and Kobe.
Shaq and Kobe.
The goalpost is.
How's it moving? How's it moving?
Because you keep throwing in other things
yes,
to change the
absolutely.
Context of the argument.
Oh, all right.
I'm saying that wasn't Pippen's team. Okay. As simple as that. And like I say, 99 in Houston, they didn't do nothing. So when you're talking about Pippen at the time, I don't want to hear how effective Pippen was at the time because he showed that he wasn't. You're talking 94 Pippen, I give you that all fucking day. You know, I'm somebody who believes that 91 through 96, Pippen was second greatest player in the league, and the only person that you can probably put up there with him at the time was Olajuwon.
So 98 Pippen was good, but 99 Pippen stunk.
98 Pippen was good enough to get the Bulls to another championship. 99 Pippen went to Houston, and they took out the goddamn playoffs.
He didn't have to be. He didn't have to be. He didn't have
with
to
a
be,
whole new setup.
With a whole new
it
setup,
it don't matter. You're talking
it
about how
matters.
Great.
All
you're talking matters. About Pippen's greatness. When you're talking about it don't matter. You know what I'm saying? And you can't put LeBron on another playoff team and it don't matter. You can't put any other great playoff player on a team and it don't matter. You're telling me Pippen's greatness, but when he went to Houston, nothing happened. And then now you're telling me it don't matter? How doesn't it matter?
Wait. Pippen in 99 played for Houston. What did Houston do in 99?
Nothing. Nothing. That's what I'm talking about. And we could say it was on Charles Barkley's old legs. And if that's your argument, I get it. But if you're saying that Pippen is as great as a player as he did as is, then what are you talking about? You're talking about Pippen from 2000 and you're skipping 99.
Pippen was never the A Mike. He was never the star.
When Jordan retired.
Exactly. And these other teams had stars also. When he went to Houston, that was still Barkley's team. When he went to the Blazers, that wasn't Pippen's team. This is what I'm saying.
He didn't have to be the star to be great. That's what made Pippen great. I didn't have to be the star to be great. He was the best complimentary player ever. He's the best complimentary player ever.
Okay.
Every nigga's not going to be a star in the league. Okay. And every star is not going to lead you.
You are the one arguing how great Pippen was at that time. Pippen, I am not. So Pippen, you're telling me that ain't
my argument. Pippen in 99 was better than Sam Elliott. And he could have got the fucking Bulls over the Spurs.
I don't want to say that.
You made it about him going to Houston and all this other shit.
What I'm saying is that Pippen in 99 may not have gotten past Sam Elliott.
We don't know that.
But I still give it to you.
He's better than Sam Elliott.
I still give it
Sean,
to you.
Sean, nigga.
Damn, that nigga.
Yeah, that nigga. You know who we talking about. All I said about that was that Pippen was not a perimeter scorer.
Hey, I'll let you niggas get that Sam off way too much right this motherfucker. So back to the documentary.
Yeah.
You know, it was clear to me, right, watching this documentary that, well, it felt like, because of bad management, it made the whole situation toxic.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just reading this document, just watching the documentary, right? Mm-hmm. And here comes the part that bothers me about documentaries, is they're not always based on truth. There's always narratives in there.
Okay.
And I refuse to believe, not only did I refuse to believe at the time, but after reading that the GM was the cause of all the friction in that locker room. Did he have a hand in it? Yes. His greatness was the cause of his undoing, in my opinion. He was one of them niggas that needed credit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And the credit kind of broke him. But they were being asked to him, and I could see resentment building. They were really being asked to him. I could see resentment building. But as great as of an ass he was, I did feel like Jordan owed him a bit more respect.
I don't think so.
He placed on the fly. Uh-huh. He placed the greatest complimentary players around Jordan. On the fly.
He gets his respect as GM, and that's noted in NBA history as he's won that Executive of the Year award. What I don't give him credit for, twice, you know, is the whole, you're saying, oh, you know, you don't believe, you know, he caused the problem. Look, when you have the greatest player who ever played the game, you know, especially at the time where there's no comparisons, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And you have a franchise in the Bulls, which the documentary showed was nothing before Jordan came. You know what I'm saying? You owe that player whatever the fuck he needs. So when you go into that year saying that, oh, you know, we're going to try to get rid of Phil, and then you bring back Phil for 1 year and tell Phil that this is his last year, then, you know, that's where you fuck up.
What I'm saying is the narrative in the documentary was shining bright. Like, they didn't even try to hide it. Yeah. But what I'm saying is, as you read more into what actually happened, I believe the narrative of this documentary was to immediately place him as the villain when there were more than just, it was just more than him in that locker room. Like, you're dealing with huge fucking egos.
Yeah.
True. Huge egos. So I think while he was part of it, he wasn't all of it as this documentary make it seem.
I don't believe he was all of it, because simply you won a championship and then your franchise just goes right back to being shit afterwards. You know what I'm saying? So to me, you know, the egos and all of that still amounted to a championship that year.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying that to me, the narrative of the blame being placed on the GM is correct.
I think it's correct also. The part of it that was most telling to me is that as Jordan is sitting down at the press conference celebrating the 97 championship.
At the beginning, yeah.
I'm already having to answer questions about the roster.
That was crazy.
Yeah.
That was fucking nuts.
Yep.
That was nuts.
I can't enjoy my moment because I'm already having to answer questions. But at this point,
that's when I feel like no matter what the situation is, right, even when we're celebrating a championship, there is so much tension and chaos.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That, nigga, fuck this champion. I do not like you motherfuckers.
Yeah.
And I think Phil had a lot to do with that. I feel like Scotty had a lot to do with that. Everybody know Dennis Rodman was a head case.
Yeah.
Michael Jordan was one of the biggest egotistical motherfuckers in the planet.
Yeah.
Like, they all had a dealing in why everyone felt a certain way about each other. Like, even in this documentary, you could clearly tell by the few little jabs that Mike was giving, dude, that there was a lot of resentment. Like, both sides. Yeah. Fuck, you gonna clown my weight? And think I'm not gonna hold on to that?
How am I supposed to feel though? Like, if I go into work knowing in 2 weeks you're fired, if I get an email tomorrow saying in 2 weeks you don't longer have a job, how am I supposed to go to work and enjoy my job? How am I supposed to go to work and be a model employee? I'm not going to. I'm going to give you attitude. I don't give a fuck no more because I know there's no job security. So when you tell me, regardless of what you accomplished on this basketball court this year, you no longer have a job.
Yeah.
What environment do you expect?
But I think at that point, it was already.
It was broken. Was already, mind you, broken. He didn't even resign Field. The owner flew to Montana to resign Field.
Yeah,
Krause had nothing to do with it.
And I think this speaks to Jordan, you know, knowing something about Field that we didn't.
But when we go back to credit, because in the documentary, dude was like, without Krause, whatever the fuck his name is, y'all wouldn't even known who Field was.
Yeah.
Like, it goes back to you're biting the hand that feeds you almost.
But
I'm looking at it from both sides.
He deserves the credit for what he built.
They gave him the credit, but at the same time, he was slapping them in their face. Like, they gave him credit. They said, if it wasn't for him, you don't get this team at all. Like, you don't get the Bulls without him, without the moves he was making as far as to go get Pippen.
Yeah.
Because ain't nobody really thinking Pippen was going to be who Pippen was going to be. Like, you knew, like, Jordan, you've seen the growth in Jordan in North Carolina.
Yeah,
you've seen, okay, Jordan is going to be a great player when he gets here. Mm-hmm. But they didn't know Pippen was going to be who the fuck Pippen ended up being.
Yeah.
So they give him that credit. But at the same time, I think it goes within the document when he do the misquote. When they get the misquote, when it's like where Jordan was feeling like he was basically saying, it's because of me we have these five championships. Yeah. It has nothing to do with the players.
Which was fucked up that they misquoted him on purpose.
Yeah, that was fucked up.
Yeah. So when they did the misquote, Jordan took that, you know, wrong. And you got all the different shit that was just playing into it. You had the media. When I'm watching the doc, I'm like, the media had a lot to play with fucking off this team, with trying to destroy this team.
Yeah.
Because even when you sitting there talking to Jordan, when Jordan said, we're going to sit here and talk about Scotty.
But like they were saying, like, these niggas was the Beatles.
I think.
They were that fucking big and popular.
There's two things in the documentary that add up to a whole lot that I seen. For one, when they opened it with Jordan talking about, you know, oh, the Cubs been rebuilding for 42. So, you know, just because we're good and you want to rebuild don't mean that you're going to see nothing going forward.
Yeah.
And the other thing that adds up to a whole lot is, if it's true, when Jordan said that really all he wanted was Phil. Like, if you want to rebuild, cool. I rebuild with Phil as my coach. You see what I'm saying? But because of that, you know, complex, oh, I need credit. I mean, nobody knows better than us Dallas Cowboy fans. When we look back at them 90s and see motherfucking Jerry Jones wanting credit over you know,
the team.
Jimmy Johnson. You see what I'm saying? We wanted Jimmy Johnson for forever. You see what I'm saying? So, I mean, those two things to me just add up to a whole fucking lot. Like, it just sets the whole fucking stage to me.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. And because I'm not a suit, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it just, especially in episode one, mm-hmm. I feel like he was unfairly presented as the villain.
Yeah.
When I think it was a bunch of things that caused the friction within this locker room.
Is it unfair when the people behind the scenes is basically telling the secrets inside the organization? Like, he's going to the media talking about things that should not be a media conversation.
This is true.
So I don't think that's unfair.
They all were saying shit though. Like, at some point they were saying in the documentary, like, Scotty, especially Scotty, but MJ and Scotty was openly jabbing dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm doing this. But that's because now the camp, well, I'm doing this within our camp. I'm doing this within here.
No,
I'm
they not, were on the mics. Like, openly jabbing dudes.
A lot of the jabs that you see, a lot of the jabs that I seen within it was, it's cameras around, but had them cameras not been around, it would have been stuff that we just normally do. Like, we just normally picking on you because we don't fuck with you no more. Like, but Pippen said, but I'm being disrespectful.
But I'm saying, though, as a man, right? I'm the GM, and as a man, that can cause me to build But that can cause me to build a bunch of resentment towards you, to where when I do have a mic in my face, now I'm going to say whatever I feel like I can say to hurt you. Like, they were, you know, the scene when they talk about where everybody had to tell Scotty to chill out because he was talking to dude so bad. And you mean to tell me dude's supposed to take that shit on the chin and just be like,
I'm not saying he's supposed to take it in the chin. But if we going off how the doc started, like you said, how the doc started, it started with him throwing the first jab.
Yeah.
And then it just,
well, the first jab was the misquote.
Yeah.
That wasn't fair.
It wasn't fair.
Yeah.
It wasn't fair. But
and then after that, it kind of just went.
Yeah, after that it went left. We're not trying to hear none of that shit.
I wonder why the owner gets off so fucking easy. He was just on there, just,
well, I mean,
with
I,
all his little commentary and shit. And I'm like, why they ain't on this nigga's head?
I feel like you can't do that to the owner. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, if your team is good, you know, you'll say, oh, leave the GM alone. If your team is bad, you'd be like, the owner should step in, so on and so forth. But that team was good. You see what I'm saying? So the GM is clearly doing his job. So if I'm the owner and I have this GM who's been with me since, what, 83 or some shit, and he's, you know, gotten me players that got me 6 championships, I let him do his fucking job.
He just signed the paperwork. That's it.
Everybody did their job. That's one thing that it is said in the doc. Like,
yeah,
everyone did their job. Regardless of how they felt about each other, they did their job.
Yeah. Okay. So, again, being that I started being a Jordan fanatic, as they would call it, during the second three-peat, so I'm like 10,
okay.
9, 10. I did not know that my mans was going crazy like that. Like, it's different seeing, like, a few highlights, like, on ESPN and shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But when you just seeing, like, in a documentary format where my man just turns it on.
Yeah.
Like, that inspired me a little bit. Like, his competitiveness, even though, you know, it kind of.
His competitiveness is legendary, though.
You know, but.
That's what people talk about when they say that killer instinct LeBron ain't got. It's just what we talk about.
I ain't going
to
do it.
You got to see that in order to compare it to something. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jordan, it's inspirational for sure. The way that he brought brought the most to the game. Like, this nigga was playing 5 people. Like, prior to Pippen and everybody coming, when they showing highlights of this nigga, he's playing 5. He playing against 5 people. He's playing, like, you seeing him go up against 5 people, and he's not passing the ball. He's going to get his buckets. That was
what he did to the Celtics in his first year.
Am I passing the goddamn ball to nobody?
But the one, and to his credit, and to this generation, right? The one thing I can say is the argument that Jordan just had these legendary teams gotta be let go.
Oh, you gotta drop that.
There were some names on there.
Yeah.
But God damn, he has some trash on his squads.
I think he had perfect role players, though. I mean, that's the thing that a lot of people don't realize. You look at the name, and the name don't hold much weight. You know what I'm saying? But it was some perfect role players on that team. Like they say, Dennis Rodman ain't need the ball. He ain't want the ball on offense. You know, he went out there and did his job. Kerr did his job, you know. So it wasn't too much head button as far as on the court what my job is.
I think the in comparison, the 98 Bulls would be the Lakers with Karl Malone on it.
Like what do you mean?
Like, that was just the type of team. Like, all them niggas was kind of washed.
The 98 Bulls? I wouldn't say that they was washed. The only person that was washed on that team as far as being washed from what he used to be was Ron Harper. You know what I'm saying? Ron Harper, you know, before with the Clippers and, you know, Cavs or whatever, you know what I'm saying? That Ron Harper was a completely different player than he was on the Bulls. But because he was 6'6 running that point, could see the whole motherfucking floor, and he got a 6'6 motherfucker defending your point guard, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Even he I just feel was like valuable for that
without,
team.
Okay, so without – what I mean is without without Rodman's
– yeah.
I don't even want to say explosiveness because he was 37. Yeah. He was long as fuck. Without his rebounding, mm-hmm. I would say Jordan and Pippen was like Shaq and Kobe.
Yeah.
But the surrounding cast was comparable to those that Laker team with Karl Malone on it. They were like dragging those players literally.
I just don't see it like that. And the only reason why I say that is because when you look at the first three-peat Bulls team and you look at the second, they're built similarly. You know what I'm saying? Instead of Rodman at the four, you got Horace Grant at the four. You see what I'm saying? So it they're built similarly to me.
Yeah.
But did y'all feel like Jordan was snitching?
Snitching on what?
Cocaine, big dope heads? It's definitely some niggas got some hard.
That was a big... To me,
that was a big moment.
That stood out a lot to me because
was he snitching?
He came in as a rookie and he separated himself ASAP. No, I don't think he was snitching.
Not when you're talking about it now.
Yeah, we're talking about it 22 years later. He just separated himself and stayed away.
Way more than 22 years later, bro.
I'm tripping. I'm thinking of
35 past.
I'm thinking of 98 to 2020.
Yeah. But we know it was his rookie season.
Yeah.
And he said he walked in the room.
Everybody was.
And all his teammates were
smoking trees, doing lines.
Not me, baby. I was in my room. I didn't have nothing to do with that shit. Yeah.
Smoking trees, doing lines, and women. Yeah. So you don't. It's a simple Google to find out who was in that room. Like, was that needed to be said?
Yeah, but it's 35 years later.
Wait. Hold on. Before y'all don't trash my mans like that. They brought it to him. He looked at them when they said people was doing cocaine. The cocaine, he's like, I've never heard that. So he looked at them. He answered.
He said he had never heard of the nickname.
Exactly. But he answered. They brought it to him. They brought that to him. It's not like he just came out and said it. They brought that to him. Mm-hmm. Nah, I ain't giving him that.
Narcotta. I ain't on that narcotta.
I'm not on that.
But it does bring back. You know, even in today's society with the young ones that's, you know, making their transition to the NBA or in college, like the shit that they really have to face, you know, with the basketball game aside, the shit that they have to face on a daily, it's kind of like.
I think that, like, it was like the NBA and rock, like they was rock stars when they got to the NBA. Because I think in the 80s, that was big. Cocaine and. All that Absolutely. Shit was big, so they came in like rock stars instead of being athletes.
I wouldn't say it was the shit they had to face. You know what I'm saying? I don't think it was obstacles to a lot of the players. You know what I'm saying? A lot of the players wanted to indulge in that type of shit. It's just Jordan was different.
Yeah, you have to think.
Did they really want to indulge though? Because you got to think outside of Jordan, like separating himself, majority of rookies.
Well, weed is huge now. I don't know. You know, weed is huge now.
Yeah,
and a lot of the players say they smoke weed for the pain.
Yeah,
that
lean age is huge.
That age, the age of basketball was at 80s.
A lot of these players coming in doing
was way more Percocets. Physical.
Yeah,
so I could see. You know what I mean? After the game,
yeah. I think
no. That's go ahead.
This is probably at the beginning or like going to the height of the crack cocaine era.
Yeah.
Prior to that, cocaine by itself.
Yeah.
In a powder form, it was a social drug.
Yeah, and they say it was a rich person's drug. So you a fucking NBA player with money now. This is what
you
do.
Party favor. Give me an hors d'oeuvre. Give me a flute of that champagne. And give me a bump of that cocaine.
And give me that bitch.
This is, yeah, and with the white girl.
Right.
God damn it.
So this was a social thing. Crack and cocaine hadn't gotten the stigma that it has today. So.
And then if you're talking about a rookie who does not have the headspace like Michael Jordan
that's what
has,
I'm saying.
Then you're going up in there and you're looking up to these dudes like, okay, shit, these are my, you know what I'm saying, my mentors, they doing this.
That's what I'm saying. In the 80s, that's a big thing.
Yeah.
Rock and roll, shit, they speak about it with movie stars at that time. So me coming in as a rookie, I not did nothing. I'm away from home. I'm finna have some money now.
Yeah.
Y'all doing cocaine. I'm doing cocaine. It's a way to fit in. The
Jordan rookie and Pippen rookie was two different things.
Facts.
No, I get to that when we get to Pippen side of it, well, the next part. But it was two different things. You can tell the difference in the rookies. Because Jordan just separated himself and became his own.
Yeah. Yeah, Jordan changed the culture.
I think the interesting thing about the cocaine thing, because later in the documentary he talked about the team trying to basically tank his second year, so they can get a high draft position.
Yeah.
When he wasn't having it.
And he wasn't having it, but if they would have, he said the team wanted to be in the top seven picks or whatever.
Yeah.
If they would have, they potentially could have drafted Lynn Bias in that draft, who died from a cocaine overdose.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm. Well.
That's a cold way to think of it. That's way to take the what ifs.
Right. So, part two. Part two was more so geared towards Scotty.
Initially.
And.
It did my man's wrong on part two.
Wait, before we get in part, let me ask you guys this. Serious question.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think Jordan's competitiveness was a mask to hide internal trauma?
Yeah, easily.
I think it was the internal trauma coming out, to be honest with you. It was just, you know.
Like, I could hear even the small little snippets of his dad talking.
Yeah.
You could clearly tell that Mike wasn't really Pop's favorite.
Not initially, no.
Yeah.
And so when I go back and I'm watching this is just shit I'm just putting together, and I'm listening to Mike talk about his dad, you know. You know, they wanted us to feel like his character in Space Jam, like him and his dad had this such close relationship. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Shit like that, I always grew up feeling like Mike and his dad were like two peas in a pod. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And when you hearing his pop speak, it's kind of like,
this should have been Larry. That's basically what it wrote.
So I was like,
you
fuck,
ever seen Larry's
bro.
Video? Larry training video where he's trying to train people how to play basketball?
No.
Fucking trash. Hilarious. Fucking hilarious. I watched that shit when we started the Bighorns. I was like, who the fuck is this nigga? Larry
Michael
Jordan.
Michael Jordan, brother, nigga.
So, but yeah, you can tell clearly Larry was the favorite when you hearing his dad speak. You could tell Larry was a favorite. And it don't really tell you when Jordan became one of his favorites.
I can tell you.
He kind of was saying like.
It don't sound like. 1982 NCAA Finals looking at. So, no,
it still sound like he was like. The way he was talking, it was kind of like, you know.
So it felt like to me, baseball.
You ain't supposed to be here.
Baseball was like his last tribute to his father. Like. Mm.
You know. He was still fighting for when he said that. When he said,
"Before NBA draft, we select Michael Jordan." That's my motherfucking my favorite right there. God, boy, I always knew you.
No, but
knew it.
That was when you get clips of him talking. Yeah. Jordan at this time, Jordan is a mega fucking star.
That's true.
And he's still not talking about Jordan like he's the man. He like, you know, you just got to tell Jordan he ain't gonna make it, and he gonna do a little better. Yeah. Like he's still not. Giving him like
was Jordan.
I wanted to
child,
punch
though?
His daddy in the mouth, and his dad did.
What was that?
Was Jordan the middle child? Was he the middle of
the
boys?
Middle boy.
I think he's the middle
yeah,
boy.
Yeah, yeah. Because middle childs have that complex anywhere where they're looking, you know, for more attention from their parents because they're not the oldest or the youngest or the only boy or the only girl, so on and so forth. So they don't have any clear distinction on one
but
thing.
I feel like it's one thing to you know to be stuck in this space where you're the middle child, mm-hmm. right? But it's another to hear your father tell you or tell the cameras.
Yeah.
He clearly wasn't.
Man.
I tell Mike, you'll give me something. He comes back with some pliers.
Man, get your ass back in the house.
So it's like, fuck.
Yeah.
This nigga knew nothing about what I was telling you. You didn't listen to shit.
Yeah. So you endure that over a long period of time. It can become your trigger. Like, that is what moves me.
The nigga was saying, like, Larry was a great help. I don't know what the fuck
so
Michael
he
was doing.
To me, he was treating everybody else like his dad was treating him.
Yeah. Oh, well, he was treating he was treating everyone else like his dad, not as his dad treated him. That's but he was treating everybody else as if they're telling him he ain't good enough, basically.
Nah, nah, because well, Dante just said there was one where they where he was like when they was in a huddle, he's like, "We gonna get this win."
Yeah.
Remember what was that? He like cussed and shit.
I don't have to say this shit again.
Yeah, I don't have to say this shit again. It was almost like that's something his dad would tell him. Like, go get that screwdriver. Don't bring your active motherfucking plies, and I ain't gonna say this shit again.
I still think it's gonna, you know, fall on the opposite end. You know, like, ain't nobody gonna tell me we ain't good enough. Like, you know, you motherfuckers ain't gonna hold me down. It's gonna show that I'm the greatest at all times. You know what I'm saying?
But I don't think it was to
but
prove.
That, I think that I don't was, think his trigger, I think he was always trying to prove it to his pops. I don't think it was nobody else. So I think
that it's, you know, I mean, because if you watch like First Take, you know, and Stephen A. Smith's told this story a number of times over the years where he says that if Mike didn't have a fuel, Mike would act like somebody said something about him. You know what I'm saying? Or somebody said something about his mama or something and go out there and kill him. Nobody says shit about Mike, but Mike will put that in his head. You know what I'm saying? So
but,
I think it's the whole the doubting thing, period.
You, when I tell you, like, no one else, right?
Mm-hmm.
I can go out there and destroy everyone else because they're not the reason why I'm going out there and destroying in the first fucking place.
Yeah.
Like, it's easy for me to fucking go out there and put up 63 on the Celtics and walk out like, kind of like, fuck you niggas.
Yeah.
Because I'm not trying to prove nothing to y'all.
Yeah. I'm trying to prove this to James.
Yeah.
The person that I'm trying to prove to is not here.
Yeah.
He's not here. So until he kind of like acknowledges me, I'm going to continue to go out there and do it. And
I don't think he ever did either.
He ever got it.
Yeah.
That's interesting as well.
Well, he didn't. He didn't get it.
Yeah, so I said, like, baseball was his last hooray. Like,
if he would have ended up being great in baseball, he probably feel like, I think I finally made my dad proud. But since he ended up being an ass in baseball, he probably still feel like, I never made this nigga proud.
I don't think. It just, this is my opinion. I don't think Mike will ever get. He will always have that competitiveness in him. Facts. I don't think he'll ever get to that point where he feels like I made it.
Agreed. Facts. So that's shown when you see the nigga play against niggas when he was 50 years old. Like,
right. Because niggas deep down, on his team.
deep down, in my opinion, deep down, Mike could be like, for all the success I ever had, My dad wanted this success to be my brother's.
Yeah.
Facts.
Yep. So, damn.
It's for sure hurt him forever.
So, part two. Scotty.
That was in part two. Scotty.
Man, they sure did make a lot about his salary.
Yeah.
Right.
They shitted on my boy Scotty, man. Part two shitted on it.
Yeah, I mean, he wanted a long-term contract.
Yeah.
And he got taken advantage of.
Yeah.
Him and his, I don't even know if his agent, but him and his agent got pretty taken advantage of.
Go ahead and give him context.
Context is important because this documentary is specifically focusing on this season, they were trying to highlight his salary for that season.
Yeah.
But when they showed the numbers of what Michael Jordan was making also compared to, I think his last year, the last 2 years he made like $33 million around each, the last 2 years. So if you're talking about 96 when they were winning championships, they both were making bullshit money.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think Mike was just a little bit more comfortable because he had the deals.
At that point, his last 2 years, he was like, I need more money. So that's what the first time you saw a player making that kind of money. Michael Jordan was the first. He's the blueprint. He's why players make the money they make now.
And further perspective, you know, like they said, you know, in 91, nobody saw the league taking off financially the way it did, you know, going after that. So, you know, in 91, you know, I'm just trying to make sure I get paid for the next 6 years, too. So, you know.
Yeah. Facts. And then, you know, you're right. Context is important because shit. Scotty ended up making more than Jordan did at the end of the
But if Jordan doesn't make 33 that year and 33 the next, Scotty probably still would have
7 year money. 18 mil is still wild.
But they both still made money outside the court.
Kobe's last contract was 2 year 14.
We talking about two different eras.
Pull up what Magic Johnson made as a player. You probably be like, yeah, fucking right. But it's Magic Johnson, so you don't. Yeah. In context, it's like. Magic Johnson saved the fucking league, but there was no money in basketball at the time.
I think Jordan showed everybody the way because, like you say, you know, Jordan wasn't making much either in his career, but it was outside the court money that motherfuckers was trying to get. So, You know, absolutely. Pippen going to get that Nike money and going to get that that Frito-Lay money, you know.
Yeah, up until the last 2 years of Jordan's career, he was making the same bullshit money everybody else was making. It just so happened to be this is the year we're focusing on. So now you're talking about NBA player salaries.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it looks fucking ridiculous next to Scottie Pippen, who's helped him win these championships.
Facts.
Did you feel like Scottie was being – Jordan called Scottie selfish. Did you feel Scottie was selfish for, one, getting – his surgery on company time, and two, demanding a trade?
As a perpetually gruntled worker, hell no. I felt Scottie Pippen 1,000 motherfucking percent. You goddamn right. Two, the thing about it that pissed me off the most was that Michael Jordan said this at 50. If you had asked Michael Jordan this question at 36 at the time,
yeah,
I'd be like, I understand why he feels Scottie Pippen is selfish. Mm-hmm. Michael Jordan has the gift of hindsight when you're asking these questions, and he's still feeling like Scottie Pippen was selfish.
I think Jordan was trying to tap into what he was feeling at the time. You know, in hindsight, you look back and say, oh, well, he wasn't, you know, selfish, but what I felt at the time was that he felt selfish.
Then he should have expressed it exactly like that.
Yeah, I get you. But okay. I do feel like, you know, if we're talking about the time, you know, I do feel like it was selfish for him to get the, you know, the surgery during the season. But I don't feel like asking for a trade is selfish at all.
I mean, at that point in time, I think they were at a point of no return. So I didn't feel bad for him getting the surgery on company time. Fuck you niggas.
For what?
I felt that.
I do. As a teammate, though, I could see why Jordan felt that way.
Yeah.
But that's the thin line between business and...
It's easy for you to say that because, again, you're making 33 M's, so you're good.
Yeah.
Not only that, they've made it a point. Again, this is the summertime when I had to make the decision. They at the press conference for the finals, it's already been established that they're going to potentially blow this team up. They're going to get rid of Scottie Pippen. Scottie Pippen is expendable. Jordan is not. So you're looking at it from a different perspective than I am.
I think Pippen, I don't think he's being selfish. Ending that season, our fifth championship, you basically said it's going to be fuck me. Like, you basically just said fuck me.
Mm-hmm.
So, fuck y'all. Like, I think you did what
I
said. You said fuck me.
If you're going to say fuck y'all, you know, retire. You know what I'm saying? But if you have an injury that you have in the summer,
give me
and
your
you
money.
Wait till the season to go get surgery on this, and we're teammates, you know what I'm saying? To me, you're being selfish. You're taking away from the goal that we're going out to attain. We're going for number six.
Nah, fuck all that. Now I got to get my bread. Now they've shown their hand. They really don't give a fuck about what's going on with anybody not named Michael Jeffrey Jordan. So fuck what they got going on. I'm gonna sit down. I'm gonna not jeopardize my long term health. I'm gonna enjoy this time, and I'm gonna get my bread at the same time. Like fuck what y'all.
The
talking
Bulls
about?
Being selfish.
Absolutely.
They was being selfish. Y'all being selfish.
Y'all put me in this position.
Yeah,
if I knew I had some long term security with the Chicago Bulls, I probably would have gotten the surgery. So I could
every time I talk to the media, they talking about getting rid of me.
Yeah,
like every time I just got y'all. I just helped y'all get y'all fifth ring. I mean y'all fifth championship.
Yeah. I want to know.
I am the second best player in the league at this point. I'm leading everything second.
But again, Skinny, these are all humans, right?
Yeah,
these are all humans, and in perspective. I want to know, and this is why I felt like the Jordan doc, especially episodes 1 and 2, because those are the only ones we have right now.
Yeah.
I think they could have went a little deeper than what they did. But okay. I want to fucking know what was said on that bus that was so bad where everyone was like, Scottie, dude, chill. You got to relax.
When they said Scottie started throwing shots.
Because if he was saying shit that was so disrespectful like that, I can see why that man would get on the media's mic and say the shit he was saying. That's all I'm saying is the whole environment was toxic.
At what point? At what point in the season was that though? We could have taken care of business.
He was still hurt
for the last 6 months.
He was still hurt. He was hurt because he was in street clothes when it happened.
I look at
we could have fixed this situation 6 months ago. Y'all could have been gave me an extension.
I just felt like I felt like Scottie was, I don't know if he was serious about his trade demand, but because Jordan not only resented, but he knew the business side of the Bulls organization so well, He knew that Scottie wasn't going to get what he wanted.
But Scottie should have known that also. That's why I say he wasn't selfish for asking for the trade. But like I say, if you my guys and, you know, we done won two in a row and I'm going to battle with y'all every day, you know what I'm saying? Then I'm going to battle with y'all.
Yeah.
You know, I would have done all this in the offseason personally. You know, if you, you know, said, oh, you know, like I say, if you have an injury in the summer and you don't take care of it in summer, to me, that's being selfish if you just sit down and take care of it then. You know what I'm saying? And during the season.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that at the injury to me is about going to battle with my guys. You know, the business shit, you know, ask for a trade whenever you want to. That's not selfish to me.
Nah, fuck all that. If you tell me you're about to be fired in 2 weeks, if you need to go to the doctor, nah, I'm going to burn up all this motherfucking sick time. Chill. I'm chilling.
Yeah.
I'm burning up all this. I'm not giving none of this sick time back.
This on company time. This shit is on company time right now.
I'm not giving none of this. I'm not giving none of this sick time back.
So, do you think that this documentary will influence the younger generation and kind of change their stance on Kobe and LeBron being the GOATs? Do you feel like this documentary would change their stance on that?
I feel like it should.
I don't think so.
It may not.
Younger players, I don't think so.
I think Kobe still holds the argument. I think Kobe because
they were splitting images.
Because Kobe felt damn near the exact same way as Jordan, because he took things on the same way Jordan did, because he went at every game similar to Jordan. I think you got the same argument with Kobe. I think LeBron was more of a business player.
LeBron took the business steps that Michael Jordan was making.
Yeah.
And elevated it to a level.
Right. So I think LeBron was just a business player. LeBron is just more of a business player. I'm great, and I'm finna get paid for me being great. And I think LeBron just took on to that point. I don't think LeBron had the GOAT that Kobe had or that Jordan had as far as the way he attacked the game.
Yeah.
I think LeBron is just like, it don't matter. I'm finna make 60 mil this year. It don't fucking matter how nobody feel about it.
That's why I feel like it should change their opinion.
That's ultimately going to be the difference to me, is that Michael Jordan was competitive from day one until the last day.
Yeah.
Kobe Bryant was competitive from day one to the last day. We've seen LeBron take a more of a, I'm chilling now. I'm making business moves. Like, basketball is not necessarily number one in my life anymore. And I think that's what separates.
That's what separates LeBron from the conversation to me.
Absolutely.
But the reason why, you know, I never gave Kobe, you know, greatest of all time. To me, you can't be greatest of all time if you pattern your game specifically on this other player. You see what I'm saying? So, you know, I could never put him above Jordan if, you know, we know that you wouldn't even be here. I won't say that you wouldn't be here, but your game wouldn't have looked the way it looked if there was no Jordan. You see what I'm saying?
And you didn't
do anything, you know, better than him, basically.
I think
you're close to him, but you were never better.
It can't be two GOATs?
No. I mean, greatest of all time, that's a one person. They both are great. Don't get me wrong. You know, to be in this argument, you have to be great. But to say greatest of all time, it's only one person to me.
I feel you.
Or you could say greatest of eras, though. You know, obviously they're in different eras, but,
I think another thing that separates LeBron from that conversation for me is that he left. He left and then left again and then left again. Like, Kobe took all of his L's in that one uniform. Michael Jordan, we're not going to count it. We're not counting out the 40 Michael Jordan. We're counting that. But Michael Jordan took all of his L's in Chicago.
What made it to where LeBron could never be the greatest to me is, you know, when he took them lumps early in his career and then he just had that, you know, nonchalant attitude. Remember that, you know, press conference where he's like, well, I'm still going home to a beautiful family. I'm still rich. I'm still this. I'm still that. You know,
I missed out.
You know, this, that, on that. You know, it's crazy. Like, that was like the weakest fucking press conference I've ever seen in my life.
But that goes back to that killer instinct that we talk about that he doesn't have.
Yeah. You know, it's like he just felt defeated.
Yeah.
I don't think it'll change anything. I think Jordan will be seen. The new generation. Damn, he was a killer. That was it. That's it, though.
Yeah.
Nah, I think this gonna shine a light.
It'll shine a light
on the younger
generation. You're not changing because you have an emotional connection to these players. You're not going to change
a Kobe fan into a Jordan fan. You're not going to stop saying Kobe's the GOAT and say, oh, no, Jordan's the GOAT. Hell no.
No, I for sure don't think that.
And I think LeBron has transcended the game more than anyone has business-wise.
Facts.
And I think that is the reason he'll probably go out on top.
I don't think he's going to go out on top, but we definitely going to give credit where credit
LeBron due. Has – everything has changed because of him. The way teams trade, players
financially, having
more power.
We'll give him that credit where credit is due, but when you're talking about LeBron, teams ain't really out there, you know – doing LeBron shit. I would say that the actual game, Steph Curry didn't change the game more than LeBron to me.
Absolutely.
Steph Curry, yeah.
Yeah, so I'll give LeBron credit wherever his credit is due. Great
off the court, business wise,
you know, great on and off. Yeah. Great role model for the league, period.
Fuck yeah.
You think LeBron was more influential business wise?
Oh, hell yeah. Hell yeah.
Than who?
Than Jordan?
Hell yeah.
Yeah, by hell far.
Yeah, that's not even close. LeBron wasn't playing for no $3 million a year or nothing like that. You know what I'm saying? At all. Like, that's not.
Why? Because of Michael Jordan.
Because of
Michael Jordan.
Look at LeBron. Look how much he's. LeBron literally has changed the way. Look at the contracts. Okay. What players do you know? What players do you know? Right? When was the last time you seen a real long-term contract? The majority of these contracts be like 2 years.
I give him that. I give him.
Literally.
That and player movement. Name me a brand that is synonymous with LeBron James the way Gatorade is with Michael Jordan. When you talk about business.
Gatorade or his shoes?
Gatorade. I'm talking about Gatorade. Name me an outside brand that's synonymous with LeBron.
We're just talking about the business of basketball. We're not talking about, you know, endorsements and all that.
We talking about business. Business.
Jordan's going to have that endorsement side, that off-the-court business. Jordan's going to have that. The actual business of basketball, LeBron has influenced that more than any player.
I don't think you speak on the business of basketball without speaking on the business of basketball with Jordan. Like, I don't think you speak on LeBron's without speaking on Jordan.
Jordan didn't transcend the business of basketball, though.
How?
He wasn't really making shit.
Then he started making $33 million.
That was his last couple seasons. But his brands is what carried him. The Jordan shoe, the underwear, the t-shirts, the Hanes underwear and t-shirts, the cologne.
His last couple seasons is what brings in the LeBrons and all that. That's what changes the contract for everybody else.
How are you saying that? When you can't say that his last couple seasons did that when Kevin Garnett gets drafted in 95 to 6 years, $120 million. That was before Jordan's last two seasons.
That was Kevin Garnett's first contract?
That was his first contract, the highest rookie contract ever. 6 years, $120 million, fresh out of high school. That was before Jordan's last two seasons.
That's all. He got drafted in
95.
And then
That was 2 years before Jordan's last two seasons.
Does the NBA's popularity lend to the business side being as big as it is without Michael Jordan?
No, not at all.
No, Jordan single-handedly.
Jordan grew the game for sure.
No, I think Jordan single-handedly saved the NBA.
It turned the NBA into the business that it is.
But I believe now LeBron has carried it for a while. LeBron has been the face of
player,
the NBA.
Player movement and contracts, that's all LeBron.
These player contracts today are astronomical. Players that shouldn't even have those $250 million contracts like Mike Conley. You see what I'm saying? I respect his game, he's not that star.
For like 4 years.
You see what I'm saying? And that's the thing about it. You know what I'm saying? Not only that, you know, what they're doing as far as demanding trades and actually getting traded to where they want to go. You know what I'm saying? Because, look, you know, before LeBron, it wasn't you can trade me here or whatever. It was, you know, you trade me there, I ain't playing. I ain't re-signing. You know what I'm saying? Now players in the middle of contracts can get out of contracts. That's unheard of in the 90s. You know what I'm saying? It's unheard of for players to even, you know, be in free agency and change teams in the 90s, especially stars. Stars pretty much play for the same team their entire career. You know what I'm saying? This is all shit that LeBron changed as far as, you know, I'm going to play with who I want to play with, so on and so forth, and it's going to be cool. You know, so, you know, the business of basketball, especially on the player side, I'll give LeBron that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So
Wait. Mm-hmm. That's not true what you said.
What do you mean?
There's a rookie cap. You can't come in the NBA making $100 million.
Look up Kevin Durant's rookie don't look up nothing else. Look up Kevin Durant's rookie contract.
Kevin Garnett.
Kevin Garnett, that's what I'm talking about. Look it up.
I'm looking it up.
Look it up. 6 years, $120 million.
There's a cap.
No, there isn't.
Yes, there's a rookie
no,
cap.
There wasn't at the time.
Yeah, man.
Look up Kevin Garnett's rookie contract. Tell me I'm lying. I know this for a fact.
Kevin Garnett.
Kevin Garnett.
Oh, Garnett. My fault. I'm doing Durant too.
I like the spiciness.
Rookie contract. $28 million per year.
6 years.
6 years.
What does it say? Business Insider. What does that say?
Garnett's 3 year, $5.4 million rookie contract.
That's not what he got coming out of high school. He got 6 years, $120 million.
Oh, that was after his rookie contract.
He got an extension in 97.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
There's a rookie cap. Come on, man.
No, what are you talking about?
There's a cap how much you can make as a rookie.
There wasn't at the time. He came out of high school, 6 years, $120 million.
Dante, you do your Googles because I'm looking at my Googles.
Hold on. Y'all niggas talk, nigga.
everybody doing their Googles.
Everybody doing their Googles. But I don't know. I think Jordan, for me, when you got, he wasn't making that much. Jordan changes basketball altogether. He changes the money.
Extension, what year?
97.
So Glenn Robinson in 94 had the richest contract as a rookie. It was a 10-year, $68 million.
That was before Kevin Garnett.
Oh my god. That's like crazy.
Glenn Robinson? He raped them niggas.
Yeah, they tore him up.
10 years, $68 million?
Glenn Robinson. Jesus.
Woo.
Yeah, somebody got fucking mad. Somebody definitely got fired that day.
Yeah. So, okay, before we get up out of here, man, let me ask you guys, what's the best player your team has been in a position to draft but didn't, and it still stings to this day? I'm going to answer this question. I'm going to go first because I was actually just looking it up, right? And because a few had hit me, right? So we passed on John Stockton. We Shooter, Milwaukee Bucks.
Shooter, Ray Allen.
No, the other one, lefty,
Michael Redd.
Passed on Michael Redd.
Okay.
Ooh. We drafted Corey Joseph and We drafted Corey Joseph and my man's was right next. My man was the next pick. Yeah. Okay, we drafted Corey Joseph. Jimmy Butler was the very next pick. Went to the Bulls.
Ouch.
Yeah.
Ouch.
Yeah. We had Goran Dragic. We let him go. Oh man. We had Luis Scola. Let him go. Yeah. We had a few that kind of hurt.
Jimmy Butler really hurts. But y'all did get Kawhi though. So I mean,
did we?
Yeah. I mean, y'all had him. Y'all ain't keep him, but y'all had him.
Y'all had Kawhi.
I cannot criticize the Spurs, man.
Yeah, I'm not going to feel sorry for no Spurs fan either. You motherfuckers had two decades of greatness. I don't want
to
hear that shit.
Hey, shout out to the Corona.
Maybe DeJounte Murray.
Because our playoff streak is still on, baby.
Maybe DeJounte Murray will carry me to the next.
DeJounte Murray is a good point guard. I think with the Bulls. He ain't carrying shit.
I think with the Bulls, we kept getting great players and like letting them go. Like when Tyson Chandler ended up being.
I think that was the worst move Jerry made as a GM.
When we lost Tyson Chandler and
traded Tyson Chandler. I mean, traded Elton Brand to get Tyson
Elton
Chandler.
Elton Brand.
That was terrible.
Why you say that?
They had Eddie Curry, though. They had drafted two centers. I don't know why.
No, he was in his bag. He drafted Ron Artest.
Elton Brand ain't do shit either. So, like.
Elton Brand for.
He was.
I mean, Tyson Chandler.
Was rookie of the year, wasn't he?
Tyson Chandler, yeah. You can at least say he was a great weak side defender.
He was the Bulls' best player at that time. And he got traded for.
Yeah, he was the Bulls' best player. That don't mean nothing. You can be the Bulls' best player. Who's the Bulls' best player today?
That was a gamble that didn't work, fellas.
Zach LaVine.
He's the Bulls' best player, right?
Yes.
Where is Zach LaVine on the scale of NBA players, though? It's the same thing. Elton Brand could be the Bulls' best player. Where is he on the scale of NBA players? Like I say, I would have, you know,
he rolled the dice on a Corona infested table.
Ugh. It happens. We Bulls for sure let go of some players that ended up being great, like right after. Tyson Chandler ended up being
Jalen Rose.
A great player. Jalen Rose.
Nah.
Ben Gordon ended up being okay, I guess.
Nah, that was a good move.
I fucked with Ben Gordon, bro.
I like Ben Gordon. Right. I like Kirk Heinrich.
Get him out of here. Ben Gordon was like a 6'2" guard. Get him out of here.
I fucked with Kirk Heinrich,
too, yeah, man. For sure. He was hard-nosed. I like Kirk Heinrich.
And I really feel like we should have got Carmelo at that time.
Should have. Nah, Carmelo, y'all wouldn't have drafted Carmelo. Y'all wouldn't
Saying when we tried. When,
oh, the first time? Yeah.
Yeah, when we had a shot.
They did.
All right.
I don't have a team. I only like players, so I don't have a team.
That nigga's a Carmelo fan.
It was Shaq before that.
What do you mean?
The best player y'all.
Yo, Celtics, buddy.
Okay.
Lynn Bias?
The thing about it is, all right, I grew up a Sonic fan, not a Celtic fan. Mm. Only became a Celtic fan once the Sonics went down and they traded Ray Allen to the Celtics.
You was a Gary Payton fan.
No, I was a Sonic fan because of Gary Payton.
Yeah, I remember you being super big on Payton. That's when what I'm saying. In school.
Exactly. So when it comes to my team, I can't really even think of anybody that we didn't draft that could have been great, especially – of late, because we drafted Durant when I was, you know, we drafted Durant, we drafted Westbrook before they went to Oklahoma City. Then on the Celtics side, I don't even know of anybody that, you know, I would have taken.
So you only been a Celtics at that time. 10 years.
12, yeah.
No. That's the way he said.
I don't know what motherfucker wants you to, I'm supposed to just follow the Sonics to Oklahoma City?
You could have.
Why?
It wouldn't have been a bad choice.
It wouldn't have. No, that's the thing about it, though. You know what I'm saying? When you trade the best player, Ray Allen, to the Celtics, and you already have, to me, which is my second greatest player, my second favorite player of all time, Garnett.
So you follow Ray.
I follow. Okay, that's a good situation. You know what I'm saying? I could have stayed with Oklahoma City, and that would have been a good situation. You see what I'm saying? So it ain't no lose-lose on that. Yeah. I'm just saying that your favorite team growing up ain't there no more, what you do?
Move on.
Exactly. You ain't got no fucking choice.
I took my stabs, nigga. I stayed with the Bulls. I took my stabs.
Yeah, the Bulls still here. I mean, shit. Year.
Look, nigga.
Y'all
still exist. That's what I'm saying.
I just stopped watching basketball. I couldn't take it.
Man, don't do that.
I couldn't take it.
Be faithful, man.
I couldn't take it. Yeah. I just stopped watching. But next week, y'all, episodes 3 and 4 comes out next week. We'll be back. Stay locked in. Fellas, where can they find y'all at? You can find me on Twitter at Just Call Me Spence. Fellas, where can they find y'all at?
Young Al Bundy, YUNG _Al_Bundy. Florida boy, I see you, baby.
Instagram, Skinny Junior 777.
At Views from the 7.
Hey, Pete, is that you?
That'll be 12 bucks.
Oh, shit.
12 bucks. Oh, shit. Let y'all know, man.
I'm not going to let y'all do this, man.
It's an OG call. We keeping them. We out of here, man.
Oh, all right.
I think we out of here.
Bobby, they got your sauce. Baby.